Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important segment of our society, to those of you who have finally come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. One of the world's foremost authorities on this subject, a man who understands the cause and consequence of Islam better than anyone on the planet today, is IQ al-Rasuli. He is the author of a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. His books are available at Amazon.com. He is a good friend and one of the most courageous and inspiring people on the planet. IQ, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I am fine. This has got to be killing you, though. The disaster that you and I forecast over 10 years ago would be occurring in Iraq. It is, for me, it's a heartbreak because I am an American and I know that we brought this on the region. You were born there. Iraqi is your home. Iraq is your home, and it is literally being destroyed.
Well, it is already destroyed, actually.
Yeah, it's true.
It's already fragmented into three parts. No matter what happens, it will never come back again. Never.
Yeah. But, you know, while this is wholly against the American policy, and it's one of the failures of American policy, if America had gone into, first of all, America never should have gone into Iraq. There was nothing to gain. We went in on a host of lies. We lost a lot of people for making a bad situation worse. But had America decided to do the opposite of what George Bush and Obama are claiming to want, which is to say, listen, we understand. Sunnis and Shias are never going to get along, and the Kurds aren't going to get along with either of them. So let's do with Iraq what happened with Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia. Let's just carve out areas and each can have their own. That would have had at least a possibility of prevailing so long as they could split the oil revenues.
But it would not have happened because the Shia and Sunnis hate each other so much. Neither of them will allow the other one to survive. This is a tragedy.
Today, actually yesterday, the United States announced that it is sending, in addition to the 275 troops that are there to protect our embassies and escape routes for American support staff, Obama announced late yesterday that he's sending 300 actual combat troops into Iraq. What do you think the consequence of that's going to be?
Well, first of all, let's put the blame where it should be. True, it started with Bush, but we can't beat Bush forever.
Yeah.
Obama had 6 years, and he screwed it up. Sending 300 troops will not solve the problem. As far as I know, and I'm not a military genius or something, aircraft. Had he started bombarding ISIS 4 days ago, he would have obliterated them on the streets. With all due respect, let me remind you.
Yeah.
When Schwarzkopf attacked Iraq, at night, every single tank, every single vehicle, with night goggles, glowed because they have heat.
Yeah.
And they were bombarded at night and destroyed at night. The same thing could have happened to ISIS. ISIS has absolutely no anti-aircraft missiles to speak of, and no aircraft.
They have anti-aircraft missiles. They have anti-tank missiles. They have anti-aircraft guns because America gave them to them through Saudi Arabia when they were fighting in Syria. And so they have 50-caliber anti-aircraft guns. They have surface-to-air missiles. They have all that sort of thing.
Correct. It's not as effective as when Saddam Hussein had, and they destroyed Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
But
we very seldom disagree. We're gonna disagree completely on this point. But I think that is actually intelligent for us to have a discussion where we disagree completely. I think that should the United States intervene, and should it decide that it should have, or even going forward, is going to do bombing runs, that I think all it does is create more Sunni jihadists, enrage them all the more, and guarantee that the United States will endure many times worse than 9/11. So I think it would be extraordinarily counterproductive for America to engage in any way in Iraq. The recruiting of ISIS is that they are establishing a Islamic caliphate, and that they are unifying the Islamic world under Sunni Islam. And so any attack by the United States against that call is an attack against Sunni Islam. That's not in America's interest.
We have to disagree.
Yeah.
Because the ISIS group are against Saudi Arabia, which is Sunni, and will destroy Saudi Arabia. They will destroy Jordan. They will destroy the Gulf states. So no matter how much Sunni is Sunni, the enemy of my enemy is always my friend.
Yeah, ISIS. I'm not, I don't agree with that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it is also true that the majority of the weapons that ISIS wields have been provided by Saudi Arabia. It's true that Saudi Arabia calls ISIS a terrorist group, but just last month, thousands of Saudis joined ISIS.
Yes, but Saudis are always joining. They're joining in Afghanistan, they're joining in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Look, we have a catastrophe, which is a world
catastrophe. Yeah,
it's nothing to do with Iraq. It's nothing to do with America. It's nothing to do with Israel. Islam is the catastrophe.
Right. Yeah, that is correct.
Full stop. Everything else is red herring. Everything else is irrelevant. We have leaders in Europe that keep talking about moderate Islam. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, of course not.
We have leaders in America talking about moderate Islam. It doesn't exist. I just realized, I found that on the news, on the internet. One of the top-level advisors to Obama in Homeland Security is writing on Twitter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, while you are correct that the greatest threat to the world today is Islam, and that Islam's natural incentive to create rage and for those enraged to kill is why the Islamic world is so crippled and so vicious. My view is, however, that there is nothing that the West can do to make that problem better other than to wield words wisely and to condemn the religion, which is the opposite, of course, of what we're doing. And second, to stop engaging militarily and to stop supplying weapons. That the weapons that are being wielded in Iraq and in Syria on both sides are American. You know, we are providing the mechanism for the disaster. And by breaking Iraq, we enabled what we're witnessing. So my view is, you're right. The problem is Islam. We can't fix Islam. Islam cannot be fixed. There is no way to resolve the problems that are in Islam. It is a deadly dogma. It has always been deadly. It will continue to be deadly. And we can't resolve that. So we ought not be engaging in the midst of it. If they wish to kill each other, let them do so.
With pleasure. I agree. But there is a but here.
Okay.
ISIS is going to turn its attention to Jordan. What are you going to do? Not you.
By the way, I don't give a crap. I really don't give a crap. Yeah, the reason I don't give a crap is because Jordan is nothing but pure hypocrisy. You know, Jordan, the group of people that mistakenly call themselves Palestinians. They make up the tribes and folks that have put this false label on them, make up two-thirds to three-quarters of Jordan. They have no political voice. In Jordan, there is absolutely nothing there that is of a vital interest to the United States. If Jordan were to fall, wouldn't bother me in the least, particularly since I would never sacrifice an American life to protect Jordan. I mean, Jordan is ultimately going to fall because of the way that it treats the majority of its people. The majority of its people, it gives absolutely no economic or political rights to. It's a dictatorship. It's just that the dictator of Jordan plays nice with the United States and plays nice with Europe. But other than that, why would you sacrifice American lives or European lives to save Jordan?
Because you are going to destroy Europe and America if you don't do that. How are you just, with all due respect, let's get this straight.
Sure.
Jordan is gone. By the way, fair enough. You give Jordan. ISIS takes Jordan.
It's not mine to give. It's not mine to give, but I the only difference between you and me is I wouldn't try to protect them.
Okay. I said, ISIS takes over Jordan.
Okay.
Well, are they going to stop?
No.
So what will they do next? Absolutely.
Lebanon will be next. Now, Lebanon is a living hellhole. Right now, Lebanon is in control of Hezbollah. And ISIS and Hezbollah, you know, one of the challenges to all of this that we have not seen how it's going to play out is that when ISIS was fighting in Syria, the reason that ISIS moved from Syria to Iraq is because outside of the desert regions, they could not defeat Hezbollah. They were unable to. That when ISIS and al-Nusra were the two fundamentalist Islamic jihadi groups armed to the teeth indirectly by America, they were easily able to confront and to battle successfully the Assad regime. But when Hezbollah engaged, it changed. They couldn't effectively fight Hezbollah. Hezbollah turned the fate of the Syrian war. We'll return with IQ al-Rasuli after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattered Myths. We're having a discussion with IQ al-Rasuli, who is easily the smartest man in the world as it relates to understanding Islam. He was born in Iraq, so he has considerable at stake here. And please don't for a moment think that the fact that we may disagree about how to deal with this disaster means that we disagree on the nature of Islam or the nature of the respective governments in the West and and throughout Europe. We don't. We agree on about 99.9% of the things that we talk about, and even when it appears that we disagree, we end up agreeing in the end. IQ, it's my conclusion that there's two reasons that ISIS branched out from Eastern and Northern Syria and took over most of Iraq. And one is that they finally developed a cadre of weapons from Qatar and from Saudi Arabia that enabled them to take the fight to Iraq. But second of all, that they were failing when confronting Hezbollah. And so that's why they turned those weapons back towards Iraq. What do you think?
Oh, well, before I start, let me put it in context. I've always said this, not only on your show. The life of one American can be only equated with 10,000 Taliban and 10,000 jihadi Muslims, anytime. That's how I equate it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's acceptable or not is immaterial to me. Because a jihadi Muslim, 10,000 of them are worthless human beings anyway.
You know,
so
if,
from that point of view, we agree.
Let's
life is too much.
Right. Let's go one step further. I would go so far as to say that if the jihadi Salafi fundamentalist Muslims in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, Iran, Saudi Arabia, in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria of Israel, if they were to disappear tomorrow, the world would be a better place.
Definitely. We know that. That's what I said.
Right.
We agree.
So we agree wholly on that. And as it relates to sacrificing non-Muslims' lives to deal with the disaster that is Islam, my issue isn't on relative body count. My issue is there any chance, a reasonable chance, that the sacrifice of coin and blood will render a better situation as opposed to a worse situation? So it's far more than just carnage. It's, can we intervene in such a way that will create a better situation? For example, in the Sudan, where the fundamentalist Islamic government of the Sudan systematically massacred 2.5 million people, it would have been really hard to screw that up. You know, had we engaged in the Sudan as a protective force to dismantle the Sudanese ability to massacre 2.5 million people, it's pretty hard to say, okay, we would have made that situation worse. But in Iraq and in Afghanistan, before we invaded, I told everyone who would listen that there is no chance that an invasion of either of these two countries is going to create a favorable result. And both situations will make a bad situation worse. And I don't want America to continue to engage making bad situations worse.
I accept that. I understand your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the solution?
We have to look at solutions.
Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I believe, and I agree with you, by making them angry. You can't make Muslims any angrier. Muslims have always been angry, and they will always be angry for as long as we non-Muslims exist.
I'm
not impressed.
They are always angry.
So our problem is how to deal with them. We have to stop them. We have to eliminate them. We have to destroy them.
You know, first of all, I don't think we can stop them, and I don't think we can deal with them, but we'll talk about that in a second. As it relates to making them angrier, and it's really not just degrees of anger, but the focus of their anger. Prior to America's overt meddling in the Islamic world, there was very little, very few attacks against Americans by Muslims. But once America started to play an aggressive military role in the Islamic world, then their anger was focused at America. The reason 9/11 occurred is because George Bush wanted the honor of pushing Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait to save Saudi Arabia, and Osama bin Laden wanted the same honor. And George Bush prevailed, which focused Osama bin Laden's anger at America. So, IQ, I think the challenge here is that while we can accuse Islam, we can effectively condemn the religion with words, the ability to stop it by force has proven to be fraught with peril. Every time we've tried, we make it worse.
Because you tried it alone. This is a global war. This should not be conducted by America alone. This should be conducted with America, Russia, China, Japan, and India. Forget about Europe.
Yeah, but you're never going to get the world to agree to that. But beyond that, on whose side, for example, ISIS in Iraq, the Shia control of Iraq, which is managed by Iran, is actually a bigger concern to me than is ISIS, because the Shias are on the cusp of having atomic weapons. And so I think that the Shia influence in Iran and now in Iraq is actually more troublesome than ISIS. So who do you fight on behalf of?
But he's not going to, because Obama is not going to do any fighting. Obama is going to allow Iran to have an atomic bomb.
Yeah, he is.
What you and I say.
Right. And one of the advantages, I mean, actually, think about this for a moment. An advantage of ISIS taking over large swaths of Iraq is that it deprives Iran of a friendly Iraq and of the ability to focus on all of its monies on its nuclear ambitions. And so the difference is, with ISIS in Iraq, Iraq is no longer part of Iran, and it creates an enemy again for Iran, a buffer for Iran. That's why the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Qataris are so involved in supplying weapons to ISIS, is so that they thwart the Shia Iranian ambitions.
They will not be able to do that. We agreed last time when we were discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
Iran must have the atom bomb because Pakistan has atom bombs.
Correct.
So the Sunni side already has atom bombs. Iran's threat to Israel, although they are fantastically obnoxious, is distracting. They need the bomb to survive.
Correct.
Without the bomb, they will not survive.
Right. And the whole treaty that Obama negotiated with Iran did nothing to slow down the Iranian development of a nuclear arsenal. And right now in Europe, as they try to go from the temporary to the long-term solution, there's 100% pushback by the Iranians. They're saying, no, we're not going to shut down any of the centrifuges. No, we're not going to stop refining. And no, we're not going to stop any part of our program. We're not going to destroy anything. Because right now they know they're in the catbird seat, so you're correct. The Iranians are going to have a nuclear bomb, which makes them a bigger threat than ISIS.
True. But no matter what we say, Obama allowed it, Europe allowed it. And sooner or later, both America and Europe are going to pay an extremely heavy price.
Yes.
I'm not just now.
Yeah, we are
who are returning to America, the jihadis who are returning to Europe.
Yes.
These people are going to be the virus which will spread all over Europe and America.
Correct. Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands of them have left Europe and the United States to join ISIS and al-Nusra in Syria, and they're now engaged in Iraq. And they have been recruited because of the enormous success now, if you want to call terrorism success, but the enormous perceived success of ISIS in establishing the end times caliphate is been an enormous pull. And what's going to happen is that every one of those terrorists, when they return back to America, to South, to Africa, to South America, to Europe, they're going to perpetrate terrorist acts like 9/11. It'll make what happened after the Great Jihad. Remember the Great Jihad in Afghanistan? Where after the Great Jihad was over, all of the foreign fighters went back to their various countries, or they went throughout Europe, the United States, Russia, and they perpetrated just grotesquely heinous acts of terrorism?
Yes.
Well, this is the Great Jihad in Afghanistan on steroids. This is a factor of 1,000 times what happened in Afghanistan, and that's going to be the consequence.
Okay, but Yada, we have to have solutions to give to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We are only saying what's going to happen. I want to have solutions, and my solution is, it sounds maybe obnoxious, but that's the problem of somebody else.
Right.
The enemy is in Europe. The enemy is in America. The enemy is called Islam.
Correct.
And as long as Islam is in America, and allowed to function, Islam will destroy America.
That is correct. Well, we're in a complete agreement up to that point.
We are always in an agreement. The only difference is whether you want to sacrifice somebody temporarily to get the bigger picture or not.
Yeah.
We have to do something about Islam, because as we speak, they are attacking in Burma. They're killing people.
Yes.
In Philippines, they're killing people. In Thailand, they are now emboldened to such an extent.
Correct.
That in France, they're killing people in the street.
Yeah,
Jewish. Right. Well, these are soldiers.
Well, you look what happened when America decided to bomb Muammar Gaddafi's military and to provide millions, if not billions, of dollars of weapons to the Mujahideen in Libya. Those weapons now are being deployed by Boko Haram in Nigeria. They're being deployed in the Central African Republic. They're being deployed in Mali. They're being deployed throughout the region. And the killing and the raping and the kidnapping are just extraordinarily out of control. So by supplying weapons, we made a bad situation infinitely worse.
We agree. But it was Obama who did it.
Yes, correct.
It was Obama who did it single-handedly in 2009 when he went to Cairo.
Correct.
He traveled to Islam.
Correct.
Literally, he started the movement of Islam.
But let's put this in context. What he did is he inspired fundamentalist Muslims to rise up. He ignited and inspired fundamentalist Islam, particularly Sunni Islam, to rise up, saying that this was their time, that theirs was a great religion, that they should rise up and that America would not stand in their way. That's what he said in Cairo. And it ignited the Islamic Salaf revolution that has taken over Tunisia, Libya, Egypt. And don't think for a second, just because Egypt has a military junta now, that it's not fundamentalist Muslim. You know, Sisi is a fundamentalist. And it has risen up in Yemen and throughout the United Arab Emirates. All of them are being besieged now. We have the proxy war in Syria and in Iraq. It ignited all of this. So he ignited it. Now, he did not conceive Islam. He just simply ignited this Islamic reformation right now that is a wildfire that is about to devour the world.
Well, it's interesting. It's very interesting, Yada.
Yes.
20% of humanity called Muslims. In 57 Muslim-majority states, 1,500 million are the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history, and they're threatening. 80% of humanity who are not Muslim, who are the most productive, most inventive, most creative, and most powerful in human history.
All right, and this is where the fulcrum is, where we divide in terms of what do we do now. Everything you've said, we are in complete agreement with, and the reason we're in complete agreement is because if you're informed and you're reasonable, there is no other rational conclusion. It's not that we're the smartest guys in the world. It's not because we know more than everybody else. It's because if you take the time to learn about Islam and you survey it from its creation with Muhammad, there is no other conclusion. But the reason that this incredibly destructive religion is able to ravage the world as it is ravaging the world now is because countries like America and Europe and Russia and China are providing the weapons. If we weren't providing the weapons, all they would have is sticks and stones. We'll be back with IQ Al-Rasuli in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli about the wildfire that is now consuming the Middle East and has spread to most of the world and will ultimately consume the world. The wildfire is Islam. IQ, if the United States and Europe and Russia and China, but principally the United States, had not become the war merchant of the world and supplied very sophisticated weapons to all of these countries, what would the Muslims be fighting with?
With nothing, but unfortunately it's been done.
It's been done.
Going back in history will not help us. We have to go forward. They have the weapons.
Right. Well, you know, understanding
how from Russia, they have weapons from France, from Germany, from England, because they have oil money.
Right.
Money is what's making them where they are.
Yeah. Understanding how we got to this spot, though, is extremely important and knowing how you go forward so that you don't repeat the same mistakes. And right now, America is trying to provide more weapons when the solution really is a lot less weapons. For example, back in 1990, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and was headed to conquer Saudi Arabia, if Saddam Hussein had control of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, would fundamentalist Islam and fundamentalist Islamic terrorism be decreased or increased?
It wouldn't exist.
Yeah. That's my view, too.
It wouldn't exist.
Right. If we had simply allowed Saddam Hussein to stay in Kuwait and then take over Saudi Arabia, if we had simply allowed that to happen and not engaged in Gulf War I, Islamic terrorism would not exist today.
True. But Saddam would exist.
Yes, but Saddam, while Saddam was a ruthless thug, Saddam was the single most effective person in the Middle East at keeping terrorist Islamic terrorism.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But as a megalomaniac, he wouldn't have stayed in the Middle East. He had huge ideas for the future. He really wanted to dominate.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, because, of course, he got his clock cleaned with his war on Iran. And I can't see why he would have decided that moving east against Iran would have been in his interest.
The only reason he went east in the first place was because Khomeini. Khomeini incited the Shia of Iraq to overthrow Saddam Hussein.
Right.
It wasn't because Saddam Hussein wanted to go to Iran. It was Khomeini who started it.
Right. But when Saddam was in charge of Iraq, if he had also garnered control of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, the Shiites in Iraq would have been incapable of rising up against him. The world would not be experiencing Islamic terrorism. There would be no war in Syria. There'd be no war in Iraq. There would be would never have occurred like it has. So we caused this problem, and by invading Iraq, we caused the Syrian civil war, because we gave Syria over to Iranian influence, and so the Saudi Arabians and the Kuwaitis used American weapons to turn that political conflict into a civil war.
But so Obama has 6 years to rectify things.
Oh, he made it worse in Syria.
He did not rectify anything. He engaged in the wrong procedures. Exacerbated what Bush started.
That's correct.
So I can't, with all due respect, I can't go on for Bush forever.
Right.
Obama, with one speech in Cairo, he literally incited the mind and excited the mind of Sunni Islam.
Yes, he did. And so here we find ourselves with they're now playing with American weapons. ISIS now has over $1 billion worth of American weapons at their disposal. They have $1.6 billion in cash, and they're recruiting jihadists from around the world. That is the present reality. America created that present reality, and the people that the foe that they're fighting is Iranian-backed Shia Islam, which is even worse than the Sunnis group ISIS. Aren't we better off? Yeah, so, in Iraq,
how we solve the problem.
Yes. Well, there is only, you and I have come to the conclusion a long time ago, that there is only one way to solve the problem of Islam, which is to have thousands of people do what we are doing. But have those people be in positions of power politically, militarily, academically, and in the media, and to tell the truth about Islam, to expose and condemn the religion, particularly Muhammad, as the most perverted man who ever lived, and the Quran is the dumbest book ever written, and to show how collectively that Islam has raped the world of its dignity. It's words that are the single most effective tool. But we have a brush fire we have to put out.